What was your first experience with the Great Society?
Well, the Great Society was brought to me by a producer named Al Fidel, who I've known on and off for about 8 years. He brought it back to me in October of last year. I think he had seen a reading of it, that was done as a fundraiser for Obama way back last year. And he saw a reading of it, and he always sends me scripts that are interesting to him, because he does produce a lot of theater at the Broadway level, off-Broadway, and then some smaller stuff as well. He shot me the script. He was very passionate about it, and he had me read it and then put me in touch with the playwright, Alex Harrington, and then we all met and sort of discussed from there. It was in a pretty different state at the time. It was a three-act play, I imagine well over 3 hours, and the scope of it is incredibly large. You know, it's covering the entire Johnson administration, so you're going from Kennedy's assassination in 1963 all the way to, Johnson deciding he's not going to seek re-election, which is not really a spoiler, because most of us know it. Although we certainly try and build it for the audience every night, will he or won't he, this sort of thing. Because there's certainly folks coming to the show who aren't necessarily familiar with the history of the play, which is fantastic, because the demographic's pretty amazing for this. You obviously have people who lived through the times of the play. You have people shortly after that who at least have some access to the memory of it. And then you have a lot of student groups, you know, people who are studying, history and social studies and all of that, who are coming to this, most of it very fresh. So it's a pretty wide net that Alec, the playwright, has cast here. I love the play in its current form. It's changed a little bit. You know, there's only one intermission now. One of the scenes was removed, now it's running about 2:40, which is still pretty long, but it's incredibly engaging. Every scene is very, very, very high stakes, you know, as opposed to being a history lesson or something, which it could easily devolve into. So it's really keeping, the stakes as high as possible. And, there's no fat in the script. It's incredibly lean meat. So it's just been fantastic to watch in rehearsals. And we're going to start performances on Saturday. It'll be great to have an audience at it to the next two.
Just looking at the synopsis on some of the websites and stuff, I mean, you've got some pivotal characters in American history in there. You need a great cast to pull it off. So can you just talk a little bit about your cast and what they do to make this performance special?
Yeah, I will tell you, the first thing that happened when I read the script is I basically sort of had a hard time breathing for a bit, because it occurred to me, as director, how are you going to find the caliber of actors that you're going to need for something like this, particularly because so many of them are older characters? At the stage where you're dealing with older performers, you have a few issues. If they're truly spectacular, generally speaking, they're off on another project, they're booked like crazy. If they're not, there's two reasons. One, either you're super, super lucky that they just happen to be off for the time that you need them, or, they're starting to deal with the lovely things that occur with humans as you get older, memory issues, all sorts of things like that. So that was a little terrifying as a prospect. That said, this is easily the best cast I've ever assembled. It's shocking. We literally got our first choice on basically every single role in the play. It's a fantastic, fantastic cast. So we have a lot of Broadway veterans, and then there are one or two younger actors as well, because Martin Luther King was, during the course of the play, he starts the play around 34 years old, so that's about as young as it gets in the play. The other characters range anywhere from late 40s to early 70s, so that in itself was certainly terrifying. to begin with, but once we got the cast locked into place, they're just fantastic. I really can't wait for people to see not only the play, but a really, really wonderful assemblage of actors. They're fantastic.
You mentioned before that, you know, the kind of the climax at the end is LBJ gonna, you know, seek re-election, and people already know. How difficult was that to kind of direct something and have something out there that people kind of know what's already going to happen? How do you make that for compelling drama?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the play ultimately revolves around Johnson. He's by far the largest character. There's a spectacular ensemble around him, but the role is of a Shakespearean size and scope. And so if we're really following him and the sort of tragedy of his situation throughout the play, you start to forget basic things that, you know, you would have learned in school or you lived through, you know. And by the end of the play, there's I think there's a desire to want him to stay in office. You know, and so we're sort of fighting against our own desire for that based on the reality we can't really avoid. So I think, yes, we sort of know, and you know, through instinct or memory or whatever, that it's going to happen, but it's terrible when it does, because we're sort of playing against it as much as we can the entire time. I mean, the real tragedy of this presidency is Vietnam. So, you know, without Vietnam in the picture, had that not gone the way it did, he would have, you know, his face would have been on Mount Rushmore easily. Would have just built a whole new mountain. You know, it really, it's, in terms of just, you know, boiling it down to why it's so relevant, you have a president who is very passionate about a specific domestic agenda, comes into office, inherits a hideous war, and his domestic is completely frazzled by that, and on top of that, a completely intransigent Congress, which is really not far-fetched, you know, for us to understand in 2013. The difference being between the two men themselves, between Obama and Johnson. Johnson simply doesn't have a filter on his person. So, you know, while Obama tries a lot of the middle road stuff, and trying to find bipartisan ways to do things, Johnson couldn't care less. You know, Johnson is making deals left and right, and either seducing or cajoling or threatening, you know, any congressman at any given point. So you need someone, which we found in Johnson, who can really dive into using the pressure of, you know, complete executive power and applying it wherever necessary on the other branches, particularly Congress. So that was the relevance sort of in the first place. But this play became terrifyingly relevant about a week before we started rehearsals, when the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, which is a major part of our play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're watching Lyndon Johnson and Martin Luther King fight for civil rights, for voting rights, and I cannot imagine what it's going to be like for an audience watching this with the knowledge now that everything so much of what they're fighting for in this play is going to be eviscerated 50 years later by the Supreme Court. I mean, so that makes it really, really terrifying. Even in rehearsals, it's been awful, because the more they fight for it, and you see the bodies, you know, the body count, you know, to get some of these laws passed, and the incredible violence that leads to some of these laws, and to see that it's just sort of thrown away, you know, in a heartbeat. I don't know how that's going to be corrected, but that was not the best way to start off a rehearsal process, you know, to watch this thing gutted a week before we started. It was just very upsetting.
Considering that, how do you ultimately want this play to be remembered? Say someone sees it, you know, next week, this weekend, and a couple of years from now, they're having a conversation with somebody, and they say, oh yeah, the Great Society. How do you want them to respond?
I mean, ultimately, it is it's almost sort of the fantasy play, if you think about it. I want audiences to look at this piece and desire to take action, to actually do something like the characters of the play do, as opposed to, you know, let's have a chat about something, and, you know, maybe down the line we'll sign a petition here, or we'll sit at an Occupy thing there, you know. But this play, you watch these people fight at these huge stakes for things that will affect millions upon millions upon millions of people. And just watching the rehearsals sort of makes me want to just leap out of my seat and go do something immediately. So, the fantasy aspect of it is, we need someone like Johnson right now. Again, not so much on the Vietnam front, or the foreign war front, I should say, but definitely in the sense of domestic. We simply don't have it. You know, is Obamacare a good step forward? Sure. But it's nothing compared to what Johnson, you know, would be doing. Radical as, you know, Boehner or McConnell or Ryan or Cantor or any of these folks seem, you know, while it may appear that no president could possibly, you know, get anything done with them, I guarantee you Johnson would wrap them around his finger, you know, within the first day.